I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44 to 53.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Last Thursday is Ascension Day, when we remember the event when Christ returned to God and became one with God. Christ ascended. Christ not only came out of the grave, Christ had to rise up and above. Kailangan may grand farewell or grand exit si Jesus. We have often said in MCC that Easter is a coming out story. It is the greatest, one if not one of the greatest coming out story ever told. Tombs and closets cannot restrain nor silence the embodiment of love, compassion, and justice. So instead of the lectionary reading today in the Gospel of John, I chose to use the Ascension story according to the version of the Gospel of Luke. Before reuniting with God, Christ told his followers that repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed in his name by his followers. Repentance in Greek, in Koine Greek, is metanoia, meaning more accurately as transformation. What was translated to be forgiveness in our reading is the Koine Greek word aphasis, which can also mean to say or translated as release or freedom from imprisonment or bondage. Jesus also told them that they are his witnesses. The Greek word for witness is martus, where we get the modern English word martyr. Martyr did not originally mean to die for one's faith. It meant witness. And to witness by extension means to testify. It is just that when Christians witness to their faith, testify to their faith for the first 300 years, often than not, they got tortured and killed for it. Hence, Christian witness or testimony became synonymous with martyrdom, which meant dying for one's faith. Why is it the version of Luke, Jesus commissions his followers to proclaim metanoia and aphasis in his name and to become martus for him, starting in Jerusalem and unto all the nations of the world? Well, despite the coming of Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, despite his resurrection, the world did not really change at all. Before, during, and even after Jesus Christ, human civilization remained to be sinful, greedy, and corrupt. The emperor was still emperor. The sons of Herod the Great remained to be the puppet kings of Judea, and the Sanhedrin still ruled in the temple. And so the architecture of human society during Jesus' time was unjust, oppressive, and enslaving. The Roman Empire, as with all other empires before and after it, was built from the suffering and slavery of the vast majority. Anyone and everyone who resisted and tried to break free from the system were killed. Pretty much the same today. The commissioning of Jesus to his followers in one of those Easter mornings, as we heard in our reading today, was to proclaim a transformation, metanoia, repentance, of human life and its entirety, and to also proclaim a phasis, freedom from a sinful and enslaving system. Christians are Christ's martyrs, living and breathing witnesses, which meant they were what they preached and proclaimed. That's why the story they proclaimed was revealed also in the way that they lived together as a community of radical equality, inclusion, and generosity, as told to us in the book of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4. They walked the talk. Of course, not perfectly, yet they were strongly committed to the message in both life and in word. Now, to understand this command of Jesus in Luke's version of the ascension is to understand how the author of Luke saw and understood Jesus. So let's do a brief Bible study of the Gospel of Luke. For the author of Luke, Jesus as the Messiah meant that he was part of the prophetic tradition and its fulfillment. Hence, Luke tells us the blood connection of Jesus with John the Baptizer, being cousins. The prophet from the Jordan River who called on people to repent and to change, especially the king and the temple priesthood. The baptism of Jesus by John would seem to be Jesus' own commissioning to the same message that John was proclaiming. The story of John's birth was a remembering and a connection to the prophet Isaiah, who, when he was called to be a prophet, saw a vision of the glory of God. An angel took hot coals, uling, no, kumuha ng uling, from the temple altar and touched the mouth of Isaiah to be purified. And doing so, he may speak in behalf of God as a prophet. Something similar happened in our story of John the Baptist's conception and birth in the first chapter of Luke. The father of John, who is a priest, Zechariah, saw and spoke with an angel of the Lord who told him that his wife, Elizabeth, will conceive, and that child will be a prophet after the spirit of Elijah. So Luke connects Jesus Christ to John the Baptizer, who in turn is connected to the prophetic tradition and lineage, especially to both that of the prophet Isaiah and of the prophet Elijah. If we study well the stories and the messages of the prophets of old, predating Jesus and John, we will know that they have always been critical against the rulers and authorities of nations and empires. Speaking in the name of God, they proclaim God's judgment and condemnation to the rulers who have done unjustly to their people. Specifically, the prophet Amos, in the book written and attributed to him, speaks very directly and plainly about God's displeasure to all the unrighteousness, injustices, and idolatry happening in the northern kingdom of Israel. The Gospel of Luke places the rootedness of Jesus in the tradition and lineage of the prophets, whose primary mission is to proclaim metanoia, transformation, repentance, and also aphasis, freedom, release, in the name of God. In the same gospel, we read the song of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she met with Elizabeth. The song is a radical and subversive proclamation of hope for the lowly and poor people and a condemnation for the rich and the powerful who exploits them. Jesus himself, at the beginning of his ministry, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus afterward saying this scripture, reading this scripture of the Hebrew Bible, he said that this passage has been fulfilled in their hearing, in the hearing of his fellow Jews, and that it was him who was that fulfillment. Saying that almost got him killed. So it is not a surprise that his habilin, ang kanyang paghahabilin, ang kanyang pagkokomission in the Gospel of Luke towards the end will also be about the same things mentioned at the beginning and perhaps throughout the entire Gospel of Luke. But what does it mean to proclaim metanoia, repentance and transformation? What does it mean to speak of freedom and forgiveness? To declare transformation of society to be more equal and just is to challenge the powers that maintain and sustain a system of exploitation and inequality, a structure of debt and fear. Yes, we are called to proclaim God's love and enduring hope. But you must realize that to proclaim God's love to the oppressed has a consequence of proclaiming God's judgment to the rulers of this world who oppose that same love of God. We cannot separate the two proclamations. To proclaim God's peace inevitably contradicts those in power whose peace is based on silencing and killing people. To proclaim good news to the poor is to bring bad news to those who exploit and enslave them. And as with the prophets of old, who also denounced religious authorities who supported the kings and emperors, it is inescapable for us to oppose and to criticize those who use religion to support what they wrongly conceive as God's appointed authority, which actually, in truth, God demands to be held accountable. Yes, this is nothing new. During the time of the prophets, the temple priesthood often defended the monarchy and opposed the prophets. So it is the same today. Some religious groups and religious leaders takes the side and defends the new despots and tyrant kings of today. Sounds familiar? Now, a few days ago, I don't know what exact date, but a certain Dora Dorado made a couple of short videos criticizing government and also Christians who continue to support our current president and his administration.
Hindi pwedeng religious kang tao tapos supporter ka ni the turtle at the same time. Hindi pwede na you praise and worship a God of mercy and then openly support someone who promotes murder and makes rape jokes at the same time. It doesn't make sense. It makes you a hypocrite. Baka nakakalimutan niyo that it was a corrupt government that led to the crucifixion of Christ via death penalty. Baka kailangan ng refresher course sa CLE. Hindi siya pwede. So if Catholic ka or religious ka, walk the talk. Practice what you preach. Hindi pwede yung alive-alive ka tapos you don't value the sanctity of life. Hindi pwede yun. So may kaibigan ka ni DS na religious, send you to. Baka sakaling may mag-click pa sa kanila. Yun lang. 2022, bodo tayo lahat. Pwede ito nagkakaganito.
Hindi pwede na you praise and worship a God of mercy and then openly support someone who promotes murder and makes rape jokes at the same time. The message was simple yet sharp, direct and on point. It did not need a lot of explanation because what is being said was intelligibly obvious that even the most ordinary of people with the simplest of faith would clearly recognize its unquestionable truth. He proclaimed both the mercy of God, he proclaimed both the mercy of God and the justice of God in a prophetic way. The video went viral because it was a simple truth that needed to be proclaimed, that needed to be said. A lot of people resonated with the message, and of course, a lot of people also got triggered, especially an anonymous guy who goes by the pseudonym Imperial Patriarch, whose one primary goal, as the name suggests, and as what his online postings explicitly say, is a return to the subjugation of women and the superiority of men. So natamaan si Koya sa video ni Dora. Triggered in the same manner, the temple priesthood of old got agitated whenever the prophets spoke against them. The same way the Sanhedrin and other religious leaders got triggered when Jesus often denounced and criticized them. And then some people would immediately ask, and ask what the Imperial Patriarch argues, but Paul told us in Romans, in the letter to the Romans, to submit to human authority, for every human authority is under God. Well, that is precisely the point. Human authority is subject to the authority of God, and human authority is not absolute. Nako-confuse ang mga tao that human authority is synonymous and equal to divine authority. And therefore, hindi pwedeng questionin, hindi pwedeng tanungin, hindi pwedeng batikusin, which is totally wrong. Because all throughout the Bible, God's own self, through the prophets, blessed the authorities who did rightly and justly to their people, but also denounced the authorities who perverted justice, who did violence to the poor, and who corrupted the people. We can read the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah, read the 12 shorter prophetic books, and you will see what I mean, what many of us mean. It is a Christian duty to take the side of the poor and the oppressed. It is part of Christian witnessing, of Christian testimony, to resist and denounce a fascist government, to denounce fascist government leaders and those who support them. The ascension of Jesus, like his birth and the birth of John the Baptist, recalls the prophetic tradition and mission. The ascension of Jesus recalls the prophet Elijah, who denounced and challenged King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, and the priests of Baal. The story of Jesus' ascension parallels to the ascension of Elijah, the mighty prophet. His successor, Elisha, receives the spirit of Elijah and continues Elijah's prophetic work. The mandate we have received from Jesus is to witness, martus, to be martyrs who proclaim metanoia and aphasis in His name, to proclaim this in our lives, communities, and in our words, which includes holding our present-day rulers accountable. Doing so, we shall face equal opposition and persecution even from those who themselves claim to be religious. But the promise we have is that we are not orphaned. We are not alone. The same spirit of Elijah is the same spirit of Pentecost, and the same spirit that is in us, around us, and with us always. Therefore, may we go out and rise up to proclaim God's love and God's justice in the name of Christ, the one who commissioned us to do this work. Amen.